Our second lesson of Scripture today is from the book of Acts, chapter 13, verse 1 through verse 3. Now in the church at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manian, a member of the court of Herod the ruler, and Saul. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work for which I've called them." Then after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and sent them off. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. I received an email this week. It may have been from Mr. Robert Goosby. If not, he should have sent it to me. How about that? We exchange witty. I think he's trying to help my preaching is what he's doing. He gives me some good resources every once in a while. And one of these nuggets that either Robert or one of my other dear friends sent me this week is one that some of you have heard before. There was a debate once in a community of, is it really necessary to go to church, to go to worship regularly? It got to be a discussion, and several letters were written to the editor, and one that initiated the debate was a gentleman who said, "You know, I've been to church every Sunday, Sunday morning and Sunday night for 30 years, and I've heard over 3,000 sermons, and for the life of me, I can't tell you a thing about one of those sermons off the top of my head. Can't remember any of them. So is it truly doing any good? Did any of it really stick or take?" So the debate went back and forth as people voting for and against what's really accomplished on Sunday morning for 1 hour in worship. And eventually the debate was ended when a gentleman said these words, "My wife has prepared meals for me for over 30 years. I have probably taken in over 32,000 meals that my darling life partner has made for me." And he said, "For the life of me, I can't even tell you what we had for supper last night. But," he said, "without those meals, I wouldn't be alive today. I wouldn't have been nourished. I wouldn't have been strengthened for my journey." We need it. The food that strengthens our bodies, and also the spiritual food that strengthens our souls, our marriages, our families and friends in today's world, our nation and world. We are a people in need of worship. Our scripture speaks of it today as we hear that God commissions and calls Paul to go forth and Barnabas, and it says it was after they worshiped. I don't think that's a coincidence. When the church in the first century was under attack, when they were facing persecution and challenges and division, their very lives of some of those leaders were at stake, they leaned most of all on the love and worship of their Lord. Friends, it is central for the vitality of us as God's people. It strengthens us for our daily journey, for our weekly journey. Have you ever, as a family, said there's something about when we go to worship together on Sunday morning just makes all the other problems not seem so big? That, my friends, is not a coincidence. I remember hearing a certain group of church leaders say once that when they were dealing with a tremendous amount of conflict, that when they gathered together in worship, that is truly where healing began to happen. Could it happen in our nation? for us at families who are dealing with conflicts and challenges. You see, it seems that as Christian people, we need to express to our nation during this time of unrest, turmoil, what is needed most of all: our growth in grace, our yearning to hear in worship that God is love and we're called to love. You know, I remember back this time last year, the tragedy in Dallas, Texas, where a sniper took the life of several Dallas police officers. Some of us remember that tragic time. There'd many protests had occurred in that area. And it was a culmination of that event that a deputy sheriff in Dallas County made just a little over a 1 minute video, and he said this. He was African American, is African American still. And he said this, Deputy Brian Woodard, he said, "I refuse to see hate live while love dies." He said, "I stand with my brothers, my family in need." And Brian Woodard began on that day a crusade to let love shine in Dallas County, to let love shine in the midst of all the tension and hate in his community and in our world. He said most recently, regarding the tragedy in Charlottesville and then the ongoing debate of what do we do from here? What do we do with the Confederate statues and the monuments? Woodard, a black man, said this. He said, "I'm not going to say that the statues need to come down, and I'm not going to say that they need to stay up." He said, "I think we have more important things to focus on other than statues." He continued, "We need to focus more on loving each other and ending hatred. Loving each other and ending racism. Loving each other instead of focusing on all the negative things that divide us." And he ended his statement once more with those words, "I refuse to see hate live while love dies." You see, it's so challenging for us as people of faith, for us as people living in a nation where there are differing opinions about just about every subject that there is to consider, to be consumed with what divides us instead of celebrating what unites us. You know, we're not the first to live with differing opinions, different social classes, different political theories and views and relational understandings. Jesus, as the Lord of life, he dealt with folks who were different. Did you know that John shares this message, beginning at chapter 15 of John, all the way through John 17, as Jesus is preparing the evening when he's going to be betrayed, where he'll be denied by Peter, the one who was to be the rock of the church? Jesus said this to his disciples, one of the final statements. Do you remember it? Do you know what it was Jesus said? He shared these words: "Love one another." Now, we as good Christian people today might respond to that. As someone tells us to love one another, we might respond by saying, "Well, of course, it's central to our faith. What's so challenging about what Jesus was saying to his disciples there?" That would be the question until we understand who exactly Jesus was talking to. You remember his 12, his chosen, his friends, his inner circle of those he was closest to? You know, they were made up of different types of people. In that group, we had Matthew, Levi, the tax collector, right? Matthew, the tax collector, and then also Simon the Zealot. Simon the Zealot, the Zealots, what they stood for were paying no taxes to Rome. Now, I could sign up for that, couldn't y'all? No, but they were completely against the Roman occupation of their holy land. So you had Simon the Zealot, one of Jesus' disciples, who was on one end of the spectrum. And you had Matthew, the tax collector, one in cahoots with Rome, and they were part of the same body. And Jesus said this, love one another more than your opinion, more than your position. Celebrate what holds us together, and that, dear children of faith, is love. You see, there's always going to be issues to divide us. Satan relishes disunity in a church, in a nation, in a school, in a family. Friends, that is not of God. Whatever the issue is, I don't mean to minimize it in this sermon today. They are real issues. There are real challenges facing us. But the question before us is, how do we keep the main thing? The main thing. The main thing for us is always love. I find it intriguing in our passage of Scripture today that we hear that after they gathered in worship, then God sent forth Barnabas and Paul to witness, to be the voice of the church. But it says that they also did this. Did you hear it with me? It said they prayed and they fasted. In other words, before they spoke their opinion, before they attempted to speak for God, they first did this. They listened for what God might want to say. Friends, may we, facing challenges, conflict, may we pray. I've got to be honest with you. This week when I heard the various opinions and the extremists on both sides of the spectrum regarding the statues, I felt some anger. And I didn't really want to pray. That's human. That's natural. We're broken. Friends, if we admit our need for Christ to lead in restoration, to lead in healing, to lead in love, then there is hope for us as a nation, as a people, as a family. Remember what our scriptures tell us about Paul. Paul, the great enemy of the church. Paul, the persecutor, who saw people even murdered in the name of faith. Through God's love, he was transformed and became the voice of church, of love, of life that is heard even today. So friends, I receive the challenge of Deputy Woodard. As a person of faith, more than a pastor, as a person trying to walk in the steps of Jesus, I receive his challenge today, and I have to examine my heart and say, are the actions I'm taking, is it building more hate in our world? Is it creating more disunity and dividing us more? Or Is it growing love? May that be our prayer as we respond and represent the love of Christ in our broken world. Amen. Let's respond.